And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them.
And they were terrified, but the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in clothes and laying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
"Let's go to Bethlehem, this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child.
And all who heard it were amazed that the shepherds said to them, "But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart."
The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
All right, it's the fourth week of Advent. And I love the fact that this year, as we've talked about opening our hearts to God's plans for us, opening our hearts to friends and strangers. And now today we talk about opening our hearts to divine encounters. Because God just wasn't stepping into the world 2,000 years ago. He's stepping into it right now. Yes, we're a mess. Yes, we need him. But that's his specialty. And that is good news. Let me say a quick prayer. Lord, I thank you for Jesus the Savior. Lord, you didn't stay hidden. You came. You are for us. And Lord, you have sin that you needed to deal with, and it was costly, and it cost Jesus everything, and yet you willingly did it. Thank you, dear Lord, that we do not have to hide from you, but we can come forward and say, "Lord, we need you," and you say, "I'm here." How I pray that as we look in your word today, you would encourage each person here, and that we would rejoice, that we could find freedom and be seen, because we already are by you. Thank you, loving Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. One of the favorite games my family likes to play here at the church is called Sardines. It's very similar to hide and seek, but there's a key difference. One person hides, everyone else tries to find them. And if you find them, then you hide with them. And of course, it's best played in the dark, especially when it's dark outside. And let me tell you, my family, we are experts in little tight hiding spots here in this building. You know, if there's a place you can fit a body, that sounds bad. That sounds really bad. Whoa. A place where we can fit our body, that's what we do. Whoa, my goodness. Edit this, Frankie, please. It is a great time. I encourage you, come play. Yeah. Anybody can play. I've seen Lucy hide behind the organ. I've seen Bill hide under a pew. My children can find cupboards they fit in. There's all kinds of doors. It's exciting. But sometimes it's a little difficult because sometimes you'll hear the pitter-patter of large and little feet, and then all of a sudden it'll get quiet, and you'll be at the opposite end of the building, and you have this feeling everyone has found the person to hide with except me. And so you've got to go all around, and you're looking, trying to find, and it's kind of quiet and eerie, and they're staying quiet, even though there's like 10 people packed in the broom closet. They're doing their best to be quiet. And you bump your shins, and you try there, and you can kind of get discouraged. The thing is, if you are the very last one, then you become it next, so that's kind of cool. But if you're the second to last one, it's no fun. Until suddenly, you'll open a door, you'll look, the light will be shining just right, somebody will giggle, and you're like, "Ah, here you are!" And then you sneak in with them, and you're no longer the last person. And it is so much fun. Sardines is a great game if you feel like playing. But it is no fun at all to be looking around, not being able to find what you're looking for. understand there were some car keys that were elusive this morning. And we've all had those kind of days. But you know what? It is true that God is spirit. And you can't actually see him. But one thing that's true is he does not play hide and seek with us. In fact, he makes himself seen. And he is all about making himself known. I'm so glad that our God reveals himself. He's not messing around with us. There are times when we've played sardines and you got several folks and they're squishing farther and farther back to hide somewhere. And even though you check there once, you check again and you can't find them. And it can get really frustrating. But the fact is, God is not like that. He's continually saying, I'm here. Look for me. Open your eyes. Open your heart. And he delights to be found. Because God's not hiding in the cupboard. He's not hiding where the garbage can goes. He doesn't hide in the nursery. But God stepped out of heaven, out of perfection, out of eternity, into our world. He didn't remain hidden. He didn't remain aloof. He entered because he wanted people to find him. And he wanted to reveal himself. As we've been going through our Christmas series the last few weeks, we've seen how God revealed himself to Mary, to Joseph, to Zechariah, to Elizabeth. Zechariah and Elizabeth were older folks, most of their lives behind them. Mary and Joseph had most of their lives ahead. And now we're going to see that God is going to reveal himself to some normal working fellas. When all these folks encountered the message that the Messiah was coming, they were never the same. And neither are we. It's almost Christmas, and we're going to continue this train of thought. Today we're going to look in Luke chapter 2. We're going to find out, of course, that the angels appear to the shepherds and they find the baby Jesus and then they tell everybody. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 2 and it's in your pew Bible on page 972. As we back up just a little bit though, Joseph was told in a dream, that's page 972, she will bear a son and you'll call his name Jesus, for he'll save his people from their sins. And Jesus, the name that means God saves or Savior, Jesus was going to be the rescue agent of the Trinity to come and deal with problems. The great thing is he's not just going to get in and get out and done with the mission. No, he's got a whole lot more. It's going to take some time and he's going to rub shoulders with the likes of us for a while. It's going to be very personal, very powerful, very poignant, very encouraging, and very amazing. Well, if you look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8, it starts out, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. These are just a bunch of regular guys. They're just doing their job. They were the loggers, the fishermen, the waitresses, the blue-collar workers of their day. They were the kind of guys, no muss, no fuss. They were the kind of guys that would have lunch or breakfast at the counter at Shy's, or else they'd grab a bite to eat at Chevron on the way to work. You may relate. You may be one of them. You've obviously seen them. And of all the public announcements, guess who gets the word the Messiah is born? These regular folks. You kind of think, well, why shepherds? It could be that they were looking after the sheep that eventually would go to be sacrificed. That could be it. You know, I don't think they were necessarily looking for the Messiah. They weren't like, oh, I wonder if he's coming today. Because the last they knew that God hadn't spoken for 400 years. And if you think about that, 400 years is a long time. That's before the pilgrims came. And yet suddenly, you know, these guys are trying to make a buck, hoping the sheep won't wander off, and God steps in. God does that a lot. God loves to jump in the midst of situations. You know, think about Moses. He's out tending sheep, and all of a sudden he sees this bush on fire. Whoa! Gideon is trying to get away from the bad guys. So he is grinding grain, threshing grain in a wine press, trying to lay low. God, boom, hey, mighty warrior, whoa! Even David, he was out with the sheep. And all of a sudden he gets a call, says, hey, the prophet wants you, come on in. God intervened in their lives because God had good in store. When God intervenes, don't be afraid. Say, ooh, this is pretty cool. It may be he's really wanting your attention because you're going astray. And let me tell you, it's better for God to get you back on track than to let you go. It may be because you're doing everything right. Think about Mary. She was godly, living, doing the right things. And God says, I got something good for you. And this is what we see. These shepherds are just regular guys. May not have been super educated. May not have been very well-to-do. I'm sure they weren't. But they were just there. And God cared enough to reach out and say, listen, guys, I've got something really cool to share with you. You know, shepherds are, I think they have the impression of not being easily fooled. They're kind of, what you see is what you get. They don't necessarily live in a fantasy world. And so I have a feeling when the shepherds were told there's a baby and they went and saw the baby and then they told others there's a baby, people would respond. But what a privilege that they were reached out to by God. And God has not stopped reaching out. He is still reaching out. And there are still divine encounters to be had. I'm not necessarily saying he's going to show up with a whole crowd of angels, but he might. But take note of the fact that God still wants to address each of you. But these guys are normal. They're rough. They're tough. They're not afraid of lions and tigers and bears and bandits. But they still are afraid. We would be too. We read, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Every time an angel appeared in the Bible, people were afraid. You know, it makes me kind of wonder when you hear people say, I saw this angel and it was so wonderful. You kind of go, I'm wondering where that angel's from. Because when I read in the Bible, people are always like, whoa. Remember, an angel is a messenger sent from God. They're not looking for him necessarily, but God shows up. And he's there to transform and he's there to get their attention and to kind of break through their bravado. These are rough, tough, regular guys. Probably didn't like talking about their feelings or anything else. They might not have even been very devout Jews. With their job, they couldn't go to the temple all that often. Someone had to stay with the sheep, look after the livestock. Funny story my dad tells me is they were getting ready to move somewhere, and he wanted a few extra days off of work. And so he said, I've got to help my mom and dad take care of the livestock. They said, oh, sure, that's fine. What he didn't mention was they were two dogs, but he got his time off of work, and that's how it happened. But I'm not recommending that, by the way, but it's one of those family stories. But these are guys, and they didn't probably know about the angel appearing to Zechariah. Well, we know for a fact they didn't know about the angel appearing to Mary and Joseph until the angel showed up. But God's looking for them. He's breaking in. He's reaching in. And something we can always remember is God reaches out to regular people. And y'all's a regular person. And you're loved by God. He reached out then. He reaches out now. And this is the message they were given in verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Wouldn't that have been amazing? Here's the angel. All right, boys, it's happening. The one that everyone's been waiting for, the one you've given up on, he is finally come. And here's how you know it's going to take place. You are going to see this baby in your own eyes. And he gives them all these clues so that, boy, when they see that child, it's not just going to be some other lady walking down the streets of Nazareth pushing a donkey cart with a kid in it. They're going to know for sure which one it was. And they're going to be able to test and see it. You know, they're going to be able to go there and they're going to be able to see and hear and smell and maybe even touch the baby. I bet you Mary let them too. You know, these guys were not bumbling idiots. They had calluses on their hands, but they knew what it was like to deliver a baby lamb. They knew what it was like to bandage a sheep. They were going to drop the baby, you know, but they could see and interact, and how incredible. And everyone believed them. Yesterday, Kyle and I were taking out more Christmas cookies to neighbors. And I saw part of a book on one of our neighbors' end tables. And I said, can I look at that book? That looks just like a book I had as a kid. And it was a book about sailing. It was a National Geographic book. And I lifted the stack of other books off of it. And sure enough, it was the same book. It's like, oh, that's cool. I said, I got that when I was about 12. It was great. And in the middle, it's got this fold-out Titanic that, and you open it up. So he opened up. Can I open the book? Sure. It was kind of reliving memories. And, well, it turned out it was the Queen Mary, but it still had that big old fold-out thing. And it said, I wonder when the thing was published. You know, because I got it when I was like 12. And I look inside, 1981. It's like, oh, yeah, I knew. It was so cool because my neighbor knew that I knew what I was talking about because I knew the date of the book. I knew about the fold-out. And I knew about, I could tell what book it was just by the little edge of the waves. And he goes, sure enough, you'd seen it. Well, these shepherds had even more of a dose of reality because what they were told by the angel, they go and they see and there it is. And I want to say God reveals reality. He reveals what is really going on. He reveals this to them. And a few verses down the road, they're going to go and find the baby in the manger and they're going to return and glorify God for what they'd seen and heard, just as they'd been told. And God reveals the reality of what the angels had said to them. There was the baby, and he reveals it to us as well. If you look in the scripture, it describes the human condition to a T. It describes life accurately. Problems people face, issues, heartache, questions of, you know, cycle, season, science, you name it. It really talks about life how it is. You know, if I was to write a book, I wouldn't paint the heroes of the faith is having all kinds of problems and sin in their life. No, they'd be these mighty warriors and never did anything wrong. Well, what we see is what we get. And no other religion, no other philosophy so detailedly describes life as it truly is. We may not like everything we find in here, but it describes what happens. And I'm convinced that if you study Christianity, the Christian worldview makes the most sense of anything out there. I mean, no other system really comes close to describing origins. How did we get here? Meaning. What's the meaning of it all? Morality. What's good? What's bad? As well as actually works out in daily life. But Christianity and what God has revealed in the scripture actually does. And the Bible and God can take your questions. If you got questions, bring them. God's not afraid of them. He wants you to love him with your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You have to have faith, but he doesn't say, chuck your brain at the door. And I love that fact that God reveals reality and his book reveals reality. And God is going to reveal himself to those who are willing to check it out. Well, what are the shepherds going to do? Let's find out. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased. The angels praise God, and then the shepherds, what are they going to do? Do they just go back to their business? No way. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherds had a choice to make, and every person has got a choice to make. It's really, what are you going to do with Jesus? I believe that God requires a response. He requires a response. He's reaching out to regular people. He's revealing reality. He's also requiring a response. We can respond in one of two ways. We can ignore Christ, or we can really investigate his claims. Is what this book says about him true? Can we believe it? There it is. We can respond to God. We can rebuff him. We can accept the reality that, boy, I need a Savior, and Jesus is it. Or we can reject him, say, no, thank you, I'm just fine. There is no wait and see down in eternity, though. You know, Adam and Eve, they faced a choice. They had to respond after they'd sinned. Would they go, God, I'm sorry, you know, we blew it, come up to him? No, that's not what they did. They hid. They tried to get away. They made clothes to cover their nakedness. God came to the garden. He had to play hide and go seek with them. I mean, he already knew where they were, but it's like, okay, guys, come out. I know you're there. Instead of them saying, God, we blew it, they say, I know. Let me deal with it. They ran from him. And I'm thankful that the shepherds, when they heard this message, said, let's go check it out. They responded rightly. And I hope you respond rightly. Those times when it's quiet and your conscience is being pricked or the God is kind of touched your mind with something, I hope that you will stop and say, okay, Lord, what is it you want? Maybe you put your faith in him before. Maybe you haven't. But respond when he shows up. Life is full of choices, you know. I don't get any ladies' magazines. Hopefully you wouldn't expect me to. I don't have Good Housekeeping, Ladies' Home Journal, Oprah, Martha Stewart. But I have a feeling that every single one on the newsstand right now is going to say, slim down after the holidays. Here's 14 tips how. You know, number one, don't eat. Number two, exercise. And then I know no one's going to do it. Okay, but then there's other magazines, the Wall Street Journal, Fortune, Money Magazine. They're going to come out and say, these are the tips you must do right now if you want to retire in that dream place with all the beachfront property or whatever. Well, you must do this. Make money and stop spending. Okay, well, none of us are gonna do it. We choose not to do those kind of things. But not making a decision is a decision. But ultimately, folks, God came into this world. He's reaching out and he's saying, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with Jesus? You know, you can ignore the parable for so long, but eventually, you know, they'll keep sending warnings, but at some point the man's going to come and go, he's going to turn it off. God's trying to get our attention. He's always at that. Let's listen to the first warning as opposed to letting God dim the lights. You know what I'm saying? But the choice is given to respond to him. You can say, God, I want to get right with you. I need a Savior. I've done wrong. Or you can do it your own way. But Jesus was sent in the world to rescue us. John 3:16 is wonderful. He loved the world to save the world. And I love John 3:17. He came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. We were already condemned. We were already in a mess. We were already toast. That's why Jesus came. Oh, I see you've got a problem. Let me help you out. And it's a matter of responding to him. And that's the whole point of Christmas. God reaches into our situation. Aren't you glad he just didn't do it in the person of little baby Jesus, but he continues to reach in over and over and over now? I need him every hour. I need him every day. I need him all the time. Well, the shepherds make a decision. Let's stay and watch the sheep. No, let's go check it out. Verse 16, they went with haste. They hurried, and Mary and Joseph and the baby were lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. Mary and Joseph, you'll never believe what we just saw. There was an angel, and then there was a whole bunch, and they said we were going to find the baby, and, blah, 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 blah. And here you are. They make the right call. They decided, we're going to respond. God reached out to them. They responded. I hope that's what you're doing as well. It's the question for all time. What are you going to do with Jesus? Is he just a teacher? Is he just a guy? Is he just a historical figure? Or is he the Savior of the world? And know that today is a day of salvation for them and for you too. Well, there's more to the story. Guess what we saw? And Mary and Joseph are going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they take it all in. And then they begin spreading the word. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. She hears all these things. She's had quite the experience. After all, she is the mother who gave birth. Tell me about it. I know there was a baby born, folks. I mean, she knew, but she wasn't just thinking about how much it hurt and how long contractions were. She was thinking about it. She was like, wow, the angel appeared to me. He appeared to Joseph. He appeared to Elizabeth, or to Zechariah. Baby came with Elizabeth. Now these shepherds. Oh, my goodness. Who is this child? Oh my goodness. Did I just give birth to the Son of God? She was wrestling with it. She was thinking hard about it. And she pondered it. She treasured it. She mulled it over. And for the rest of her life, we know she was thinking about it. You know, I mean, what do you think about? There's a lot to think about. Some of it good, some of it bad. Some of it important, some of it dumb. Sports, cars that are speedy, sex, special people, celebrities, scripture, scenery. We could go on and on. There's a lot of stuff to think about, but what is always on your mind? What do you treasure? I hope this time of year you have some happy memories of Christmas past. They're not always happy, I know, but hopefully there's some that you can hang on to. Hopefully you'll have some this year that are good. But Mary is wrestling with it. And I want to say that God rates reflecting. I know it sounds weird, but he is worth reflecting. He rates reflecting. He is worth doing this. And Mary took the time, and the shepherds took the time, and I'm certain Zachariah took the time, and hopefully you will as well. I mean, what do you wrestle with? What are you thinking about? The temporary, the new, the exciting, or what is important, what lasts, the good, the true, the beautiful? And God rates reflecting all the time. When I think about all God has done for me, I am blown away. I was independent of God. I did my own thing. My first word was, no, just like yours probably. I went astray. I followed the desires of my own heart. And yet God, who saw that, stepped in and said, he reached in and said, I want you as my son. And he adopted me in his family. That is cool. And then he rejoices over me and he rejoices over you with singing. Well, it's hard in light of that not to respond like the shepherds. And verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they'd seen and heard as it had been told them. These men were pumped. They were excited. They might not have realized all the ramifications of the Messiah's birth, but they knew something was going on. And they knew God had appeared and God was at work and God was doing great things. And they knew this was a big deal. And it wasn't just for the angels to sing about when they'd sang glory to God in the highest, but the shepherds, what'd they do? They praised, they glorified God. And I'll say that God releases rejoicing. God reaches out into our world. He is worth thinking about. He reveals reality. I mean, this book is true. And he wants a response, but it also, what God does, he releases rejoicing. I mean, think about this. He comes, he enters their world, he enters our world. And a savior for us means we're saved. We no longer have to face death and hell, but freedom, peace, forgiveness, a second chance. Glorious future with God, they are what is in store. This is no fake news. This is no slanted journalism. This is no phony baloney. This is no internet story. This is something you can bet your life on. This is a real deal. Oh, isn't it nice or something solid, something you can believe? Man, who would have thought that was the word of the year? Fake news. It's everywhere. But what can you believe? We can go to God's word. It stands the test of time. And the angels rejoice. The shepherds rejoice. Mary rejoiced. And we can rejoice as well. Because God's worth getting excited about. And the folks back then had waited a long time. Hundreds of years. Remember, there was a promise clear back in Genesis chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve blew it, that, there is a deliverer who is to come. And then Abraham talked about it, and Moses talked about it, and the different prophets over and over, and thousands and hundreds of years passed, and finally, that one that was mentioned had come to pass. Good news. The kids are downstairs. My kids have been like, oh, it's Christmas, and they know exactly what time of year it is. What are you looking forward to? Oh, cookies and presents and family, and they are like, can we open some stuff tonight? And I kind of want to, too, but they're excited about that, and I'm excited about it. I'm also really excited because in 2 weeks, we're going to be not quite doing the hula, but in a place where we can. And we'll be snorkeling in the deep blue sea, and I've been waiting a long time, and I'm ready for vacation. I can smell that salt water and feel that warm sand, and I think the sun still shines around here, around somewhere. But I'm looking forward to that. But they had been looking forward to centuries. Forever, their whole lives, and salvation was here. My favorite name for God is Emmanuel, God with us. God the Father sends God the Son to live with us. He reaches out, and he's still reaching out. And he comes as our Savior. I need a Savior. You need a Savior. We got a Savior. But we've got to respond to him. All of us have looked for jobs, probably. I guess the Cohens that haven't looked for jobs are all downstairs. And we've given them jobs. But when you're filling out job applications, you kind of know, oh, what experience do I have? You know, what qualifications are they looking? What skills? What degree? And job hunting's never fun. It's usually about rejection. At least it was for me a lot of times. It's a drag not to be wanted, to be turned down, especially when we actually think we might have something to offer. But let me tell you, in this God's case, you are wanted. He sacrificed greatly because he wants you. He wants to relate to you. He reaches out. He cares. He reveals himself. He wants you to respond. And it's good when we do. I love the little kiddos here. And they're fun to play peekaboo with. Peekaboo. I see you. And then you go get him. Well, that's what God does. He's not hiding out. You know, he sees us. He wants to interact. He wants to draw us near. Even when he saw the good, the bad, and the ugly, that's still who he is. Think of that little teddy bear, beat up, missing an eye, needing a bath, abused, used, not so nice, and yet loved. That's who you are. There's a God in heaven who has come and said, I want you to be mine. He sees your stuff. He's aware of your sin. He's God, of course. And yet he looks beyond that because he brought a Savior. So when you put your faith in him, your sin is put on Jesus, and you don't have to pay the penalty. God jumped into Christmas. He didn't keep his hands clean. He jumped in with both feet. He wasn't trying to stay away from the mess. He got right in. And that was a divine encounter, and God still has divine encounters. We've seen it in Good News Club. Respond to God. He loves you so very much. Lord, I thank you that your word speaks to us. I thank you that you reached out to these men in the fields. I thank you that they responded and they went and found that you, what you said was true. And Lord, it led them to praise and trust in you. And I pray, Father, if anyone here has never taken the step of saying yes to you, Lord, I need a Savior. Thank you for being it. That God, you would open their hearts and they would never be the same. Thank you, Lord, that your word speaks to us today. Thank you that there is something solid to place our lives upon. Thank you we can celebrate the miracle of God with us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.